Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys, how's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple, with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options, so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? Coming at you live on the stream, Jay Foreman, DP Austin. Brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients, The Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 84th and Old Cheney, 168th and Maple. Crazy that the Mercado has grown that much in about a year and a half. They're going from two locations, just getting the party started when we do live remotes out there, to four total locations, and one obviously up there in the O, or the Metro, as they like to call it. But at the end of the 4 o'clock hour, top of the 5 o'clock hour, talk about the, you know, it's cut down day in the NFL, man. It's always, there's always guys that get cut that players definitely feel that, you know, we're good enough to make it. And there's a lot of things that go into the, I guess, the evaluation process that players will never know. And you're not expected to know. And so you're not able to know, and they won't let you know. But the one thing that's always, that I learned as you got, you know, going on in my professional career as a player, is how different teams will handle it. I was very fortunate to go in Buffalo. It was a first class organization, from top to bottom. John Butler was our GM. He did everything as first class as you could, you know, expect. Then I go down to Houston. I'll never forget in our first year. And so, you know, when you're an expansion team, besides the main roster of guys, you go into training camp and the bottom of the roster is constantly turning over. And you remember this, DP, from the Panthers. They're bringing guys in. So you play on Sunday. They're bringing guys in Monday and Tuesday to work out. They'll sign a guy. He'll be there for a week. It was just constantly turnover. But I remember this after the first year. And so the league has changed. They have a hard cut down day, which is today. That's your 53-man roster. The way it used to go after the last preseason game, sometimes those would be on Thursday. So you could have one, two, like You could practice, guy. You would practice Monday, day mandatory day off Tuesday, and you could practice depending on when your game, Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't want to miss that, right? So if you had a, you know, if you had a Monday night game, you could practice Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, whatever. So they could, even though they knew they were going to cut some guys, they could still get sometimes 2, 3, maybe 4, because you could play Thursday and then the rest of the league plays their last preseason game on Saturday. They could get 2 or 3 practices out of you. You know, so yeah, some young guys didn't know anybody. They thought they'd make the team. Well, the decision makers are waiting to see who else got released so they could bring some guys in. And, you know, Buffalo, or not Buffalo, but Houston, we brought in my man Steve Foley, man. I love Steve Foley. He's from Arkansas, so when he get a sack, he'd do like the Razorback thing. But I'll never forget, man, when we were in Houston, it's my second year. And I remember the first year, and so I was a captain, and we had a Unity Council thing or whatever, meeting with Dom. I said, Dom, look, man, you can't be having guys, you know, we practice early that morning, have a team meeting, come picking guys out right when you got a team meeting, man. I mean, you can't catch the brother. You can't catch the dude in the locker room or something. It's already bad enough. You got to practice early that morning because that's what they do. They get one more practice out of you, out of some guys. And then you're going to just, you in there with 60-some guys, and, you know, you got some other guys taking physicals. So everybody, you know, some guys are on edge. And I was fortunate enough, obviously, you know, I had to work for it. I knew I was going to be back because I resigned. And I brought it to Dom's attention. Dom, it was crazy because Dom was okay with changing it, being respectful for it. The owner was, which was Bob McNair. Charlie Casserly wasn't.
Of course not.
And he's the GM. Of course.
You know, I punch you. You know, Charlie Casserly makes me punch air just by saying his name.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fighting ghosts whenever you mention Charlie Casserly.
So now, eventually, you know, the owner makes, you ain't going to beat that. But it was, so I always say that, like, this day is, you know, as much as it's somewhat, you know, you think, okay, you got, you know, Jamar Chase coming back. Well, somebody's got to be off the roster when he comes back because he's been gone on training camp. Yeah, you know, you got Odell Beckham Jr. He's out 4 games. So there's going to be a guy that's going to get a cup of tea, or multiple guys get a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, as they like to call it, then they're gone. Like, this is not a fun day. You know, the Tennessee Titans traded for Jones, the linebacker, who had a great year last year because the Rams decided not to pay one of the guys that they drafted, developed, and he outperformed. We talked about that contract. Do you get paid for what you've done or what you potentially could do? This guy's in the boat for both. He's done. He outperformed originally the draft position, and he still is, you know, in the prime of his career, but they've traded him. So that means somebody in Tennessee got to go.
It's tough. We used to have, so most, I can speak to Charlotte and DC, where a lot of the young players would come and do interns with me right after camp or during, right before camp and then up to camp, and then they'd come back, right? Bartending shifts, guest bartenders. It was appearances, right? So they'd get to know the area. People get to know right. them. And most of them, you had girlfriends that were, look, they live with you. So, and they go through the whole cut process with you the same way you do.
Yeah, your whole family does.
Right?
Yeah.
And you have to learn it just to go, okay, I'm cut or I made it. And they go, yeah, but pump the brakes because I don't know if we're keeping you. And to hear that and to have these players just be sitting there on a ledge like, okay, dangling feet off the side of a pool. You waiting for folks to let you know whether you're in the game or not. And then you get the phone call that, you need to go to the park.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. You know, and then you go to the park, and then it's, okay, I got cut. Everything sucks. 2 hours later, somebody else calls you.
Yeah. Or they tell you, like, we're going to release you, and you're going on the practice squad. So, and it's easier to kind of piece together.
You still have to clear waivers to get to practice squad, right?
Yeah, but generally they'll tell you don't answer the phone.
Yeah.
If you want to be there, and sometimes they keep you on practice squad because they do have plans for you. Because if there's a rash of injuries at a certain position, they're like, hey, you know, look, you're at the bottom of the, you're not the bottom, but look, you're right here. We're going to be healthy in 2-3 weeks. And sometimes they'll pay you a little bit more than the practice squad rate. Now, I will tell you this, it's easier to be on the practice squad now and piece together a longer career, because in the NFL by your second year, you couldn't be on the practice squad. you can be in year 12 and they can pick you up, put you on the practice squad. So it's easier to kind of, you know, kind of hold your head above water. You start playing. Next thing you know, you get two or three more years. And you just never know. I mean, NFL is a not for long business. I always tell people this, man. If Peyton Manning and players like that, Brett Favre, can get traded and treated like a piece of meat, anybody can. Nobody's above. I mean, Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. He had to go to Tampa to get some respect. But that just lets you know what the NFL in his business, right?
Well, he did the same thing to Belichick, even on the coaching side.
Yeah, but Belichick was doing it to other people. Bill Walsh was doing it to other people. He died with one of the biggest regrets of how he treated his players, because it wouldn't have changed how they played, but it changed how he would have got the same. You had Jerry Rice, dude, and Joe Montana. You think if you treated them with like a little bit more respect or whatever, how you handle that process, that they would have played like worse? These are two greatest guys of all time. They are who they are. You get what I'm saying? So it's always I mean, I'm not involved in it, but I just, you know, you see guys, you know, some guys you never hear from again. You know, some guys like that you're drafted with, like Keith Newman. I haven't heard from him in a while, but you try to find guys, and some guys just go off the map, man. And then, you know, you got guys like my friend Brian that's from Ocala, Florida, like sitting around with him, and he was living in my apartment where we were living together. And he's like, I think I'm on the practice squad. My agent wants me to go to Chicago. So he stays on the practice squad with Buffalo, which actually worked out great. Well, then Buffalo brings in another fullback because later, you know, in year two, he ends up going and playing Chicago for 2 or 3 years. So it actually works out. You just never know, you know. And then that's like a redraft process, because where you go, it is catch 22, because say like we all were in Buffalo, us three, right? And say one of us ends up on the practice squad, but the Buffalo knows us, but the numbers might not just work right. But you could be overzealous and say, you know what, you can get this, like, I want to be on the active roster somewhere. It's kind of like here, I want to play as a freshman. Well, do you want to be on the squad, or do you want to actually be playing?
You want to take right $12,000 check, or do you want to wait out and get the $80,000 check at the end of it?
But you could go to somewhere and be on the active roster for 2 weeks, or you can be on the practice squad for a whole season. Somebody could get hurt at a team that knows you, invested some time and money into you, and you get on the field, rest is history. You go to another place for 2 weeks, you are history. You're just another guy that comes through at the bottom of the what do you do, cover six kicks? You know, make a tackle or two, especially, thanks, but you know what? Our one of our quarterbacks, you know, got hurt, so we got to bring in another guy, sorry. Not only you're not on no practice squad, now you're in the vortex. That's kind of like the transfer portal. It's all kind of, you know, relative.
Well, and the ability to change, rebrand yourself after being cut.
If you get an opportunity, though.
Right.
Yeah, and that's where your agent, and I'll talk about agent. This is where, you can say whatever you want about Drew Rosenhaus. You can say whatever you want. At the end of the day, he does what's best for his players. Okay. Now, is he flamboyant? Yes. Is the way he does his business, is it good business? No, I think he over leverages. Matter of fact, I know he does. I know there's other, like Blake Barras we had on there. He's a great agent. An agent makes his money. And a good agent is a guy that puts DPJ and Austin in the best place possible for us to be successful, to have the longest career possible. If we're not drafted first, second, third round.
Yeah, it's the thing of sending you to your best place or sending you to your next place. And there are those agents that
they'll throw you to the wolves.
Take the first job.
Because it's easy. I got you signed. But you're fighting a battle that you're not going to win. And you have some agents though out there. The good thing is guys talk is that they'll sacrifice a player just to do it. And that's not being a good agent, you know, because ultimately your job is to do his best for everybody, no matter if he's the first round pick, street free agent, high priority free agent in the free agent pool, or somebody that just, you know, battled through some injuries and got cut. Like, you know, like Dylan Ritter right here, right? He was with the Cardinals. He was second round pick now of Atlanta. Now, Kirk Cousins got you, now Michael Penix Jr. So now you're at the Cardinals. You're backing up, you know, potentially trying to back up Paco Hercules. Now he's in a thing of, was he really that good for a second round pick? Yes, he has some, you know, good film, but we're looking at how much can we pay him? Can we get him back on practice squad? Now, all of a sudden, just in a different location, the star and the gleam off of him has just been worn off, and it hasn't maybe not had nothing to do with him. You got to think, he got traded.
Why'd they cut you? Why'd they let you go?
Right. But he got traded to a whole new system that might not really fit his skill set. He got traded, so he couldn't say that, to a skill set. And essentially, a team like, in an organization sometimes like the Cardinals, will pick up guys in the offseason just to have arms. Just to had no intentions of keeping him. You knew who this dude was before you traded for him. Like, you think he just came from Atlanta and all of a sudden, like, what? You know his arms. You scouted him for 2 years in college at least. You saw him start and actually was supposed to be the quarterback of the future. Then he got hurt and then obviously didn't play well. But nobody on Atlanta played well. That's why you got a new head coach, right? Is that fair?
And some of that is it the agent. One, they would tell you never have an agent who hires and fires at the same position you play. Because ultimately it comes down to, hey, if I need to get this big contract sold versus the small contract, teams would rather have the small contract. The agent wants the bigger big contract. Yeah. And it's constant to have those infighting brawls happen. Like, why are you getting him signed? That should have been my deal.
Yeah, that's really more in the it really rings true in the draft process, where an agent will come in and, you know, you got some of these agents, they mass market and mass sign. Well, if you got three linebackers, how you know I know you talking about me? Now, granted, the team's going to draft who they want, but the scouts and stuff have, and the GM's got relationships with these guys. You got four guys.
Good and bad.
You got four guys, man. I was saying you can oversaturate your stuff. Oversaturation is not good. It could be perceived as you're doing good, but you cannot service those guys unless you have a plethora of guys that can service everybody with the same energy and focus. And Drew Rosenhaus has been able to do that. He's got him and his brother, and he's got the dude that used to play at the Miami Hurricanes that he's actually fostered and mentored and taught him how to be an agent. And his name is Robert Bailey. So he was a guy that he was a special teams player. He played for the Baltimore Ravens, won a Super Bowl with them. Drew Rosenhaus represented him. He played like 10, 11 years in the league. Now, he's a real powerful agent. So where now Robert Bailey can go and be the extension of Drew Rosenhaus and recruit a certain type of player, but he's got Drew Rosenhaus helping him on the negotiation skills. Drew Rosenhaus is using him as a recruiting thing for players that he needs to get in the door with. So it's a great partnership. That's how he's able to survive and have 10 guys be free agents and all of them sign max contracts, because they're all working for the same purpose and it's not oversaturation.
And they're getting bang for the buck. That resume and reputation matters. That you're not going to get max money and send me a crap player. Like, you're not going to send me a dude who hadn't been working out, because ultimately it's Jay's name.
Right.
Oh, Jay sends Austin Orman. Austin has to work at Jay's level, not Austin's. I have to know that I can take Jay for his word. A lot of this time, like today, was a whole lot of personal. People call them personnel decisions. These were personal decisions today. There were some ones where guys just simply weren't the ones that the head coach or the group coach wanted.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the cuts that you know, but every team has two or three guys that you're like, dang, you know, he played for us last year. He actually was a good player. You know, did he really get as much run? You know, it's like Philadelphia Eagles. Like, you know, I'm looking here. They like, you know, they cut Nick Gates. Nick Gates was starting last year. He got a big contract with the Commanders or whatever they were. Then he went to the Giants. You know what I mean? And then he came back from that gruesome lower leg injury. You know, so there's a lot of guys where you think like, okay, now they're out in space. But there's a lot of guys that, like, Benny Sapp III. Like, I know Benny Sapp II. You know what I mean? He played at Benny Sapp III in Minnesota, Northern Iowa, tested out well, probably didn't get a lot of reps in camp. What do you do? Then now you got to find a place where you get in, you know, you can really get in where you fit in. And it's tough, man. And it's a tough day for the league.
Yeah. It's never fun. I mean, I know it, that sort of.
Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys. How's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair. With Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple, with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options, so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for Black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Immediate closure, Jay, that, whew, like I made it to the first 53. Then you realize it's just the first 53. That can change. Most teams will tell you of the final three, none of them may make the first day kickoff.
Well, yeah, I mean, the practice squad is bigger now. It used to be only five. I think it's maybe 10 now or whatever, right? You know, it used to be for once you become a veteran, man, you got to know, you got to see, like, I was just like, I came in the league, so I just knew, hey, I got to make the team. I got to get in where I fit in. I scratched and clawed to make the team the first year. I never forgot that. Played some, thought I established myself. I'm back at ground zero again. The kickback squad, what I call the special teams, I got to play D. Make it again, start. Third year, start. Big Bang Hank put me up, man. He was a great veteran. He taught me the rules. Because I was just showing, you know, like, always worried you might get cut. Even though I'm out here knowing I'm going out there starting, not making much money, so it can't be a salary cap thing. I remember one time he pulled me up going to my 40s. He's like, man, you ain't got nothing to worry about. It's Wednesday. I was like, what do you mean? And it's the work day, right? I seen guys get cut on Wednesday. Well, back then, the Wednesday of the first week, once you were vested, you in. So you on the salary cap. You on.
It counts.
Count. Yeah. So you can cut me. I'm still getting paid. So, but I didn't know that though. Straight up. I mean, but it was actually good to not know because I never lost that edge. But as you get along, you get into year 6, 7, and then you know, the last 2 years, I always tell people that the first seven years were great. The last two, I was on the cheerleading squad. You know, I was go down on special teams, play a couple plays. Good job, man. You're doing good, Brandon Moore, man. You're going to be a great little player. But then you just got to know how you know, once you get the three games, that's another vested year. I'm looking at retirement. You know what I'm saying? Then I'm like, once you get to six, we in. Everything changes, but today is not a fun day, man, when you think of all these guys went to camp with the idea and the hope that they're going to make it.
And 53 seems like a lot, but when you look at the number of guys that got cut, it's 53 seems small.
It's not. 53 is not, especially in the only league that doesn't have a minor league system. Well, you got the new league, but one that's connected directly.
And a greater turnover of injuries that caused you to get into those rosters.
Right.
Like yeah. That, I mean, listen, you're in the collision game. Jeez, that 53 ain't going to be same 2 weeks in a row.
Well, I mean, you look at, okay, here's a perfect example. A guy that we know because we knew his grandfather. C.J. Beathard played at Iowa. Right? He got released with an injury settlement. Just imagine if you're somebody like that. You worked all offseason. You're in great shape. And you're a quarterback. You take your drop, throw it. Some lineman, defense lineman gets thrown into your ankle. Now you're out in the abyss waiting to get healthy and get an opportunity. And without a minor league system that's directly connected with the unit.
Now we go rehab.
Right. Now we know the work the Rocks League kind of is. And we've seen with Adrian, it does work out, but it's not directly. Cause like, say, and here's an example. Say you're a major league pitcher, right? Yeah. Say you got shoulder stiffness or what, and you get injured, you know, coming out of spring training. And you got to go rehab. They'll send you down to AAA and do like rehab assignments, and you'll be getting signed with whoever team, and then you'll have a direct path and way back
up. When does that happen in full? When does the NFL say, screw it, it makes more sense for us to have development squads in full, right? Like baseball. Like you don't have to have AAA, AA, single A, but having any A, for you to develop players.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, NFL Europe was really good, but I think it went defunct because of insurance and travel and just, but it was a great product. I mean, Kurt Warner came over, London Fletcher, all those guys came from there. So It worked. I think if the Rocks League, what is it called? The UFL? XFL? What is it? I know it's UFL, right?
UFL now, yeah.
So the UFL, I think the NFL would be okay with the UFL being their league or being their like kind of extension as long as they ain't got to pay for it.
Well, but I mean, they said that for baseball until they realized there was more money in it if they paid for it. And the same for basketball in the G League. Well, they weren't going to pay until they realized, well, that makes way more sense for us to pay because we're getting more bang for the buck.
Yeah. I think it's an insurance thing with the NFL with tons of players, but I think if you could find some cost sharing and stuff like that, if you did four games in the spring, whenever it could be, there's no competition, a great place to send somebody that's, you know, say you just got a 2 year run in college or you got stupid injuries, right? And but he has a ton of talent to get him some reps or somebody that just didn't get enough. I like he got a big arm, just don't have to work on his mechanics.
And in your system,
yeah, like you can or a coach that you know that can get him better. Like if you had a quarterback, you know, you send him to Barry.
Yeah.
All right. I need to see him in a year and this is what I need him to get better at A, B, C, and D.
All of that's in play. I think I sent you the video of Barry's young men. And it's that very thing that you can go through and develop. And if you develop them under your watch and under your program, you can have three 17-year-old quarterbacks who know your system, know your verbiage, and otherwise. And it changes. I'm surprised, quite frankly, that the NFL hasn't done a minor league yet. Because for an off-season town where you want people interested in still spending money on the NFL, that's a really good way to do it.
You know what's crazy is that when I was in Buffalo, they had an arena team. That's when arena was like really popping. Remember, like the Arizona Rattlers were more popular than the Cardinals back in the day.
Yeah,
that was really close because I think Buffalo might have picked up some guys or if guys were trying to keep their name in alive and going there. But I don't. Like I would do it like the G League or whatever, where they go to camp with you, even if they are, and say they're even if it's ongoing for like the first quarter of the year, of the NFL, where they're playing like a different type of day or something is good. I think it's good. And then also even better,
Tuesday night development football would still generate money.
Yeah. And you can send some coaches that are, say, the entry level coaches and fast track them to be really good coaches.
You have a whole staff of analysts and consultants that would be perfect for it.
Yeah. I mean, think the guys about it, that want to coach, you say, or if somebody that wants to get back into coaching or is okay with being, say you had like a guy that's like your senior, whatever, in the NFL, former head coach, and he's a little older, so he probably doesn't, you know, maybe like Pete Carroll. No, I mean, like obviously Pete Carroll wants to be a head coach, but somebody like Pete Carroll, and he wants to head this up, and he wants to develop coaches, he wants to develop players. But you also get Pete Carroll on Sundays and obviously during the week. It's I mean, obviously there's other things that are good. I think it'd be great.
What if you had a walk-on league that for college that played? I mean, you've got 65.
They used to have a freshman league.
Like, I mean, it becomes a thing, right, that you're actually getting something for that development, right, that you could have a JV league, have a JV Big Ten, have a conference.
Yeah. Or guys, if you're not on the 70, man.
If you're not on the 70, if you've never played, on Saturday, or if you've only played one time on Saturday or two times during the non-con.
Haven't burned your red shirt.
You want to come in and play. You want to play on Tuesday night. Yeah, you've got all these analysts that you're trying to figure out how to get recruiters back in the game. Well, this is a way, and yeah. This is where you get tape, and this is where you get resume. And it also adds to the value of the young people because they're getting game tape. Right. Even if it's JV tape, look, if you want them into the transfer portal to help people, if your mom and dad and your dude's a walk-on and he gets six JV games, oh, my goodness, there's bang for the buck.
Hey, I'm going to tell you this. If that ever happened, I'm telling you, there will be guys that will be in this league. Even if you did it regional, say you had like four games and you played like Iowa State, Kansas State. That's
drivable, right? Right.
There will be, I'm telling you, there will be guys that play in that league and ball out that will get overpaid than the guys that play in the big, because you're like, man.
But that's what you, right? I mean, that's what
you know what I mean? Say he lights it up, you know, whatever. Like, oh,
yeah,
that's our backup quarterback. That's our future number one.
Well, you knew practice squad guys who gave the starters and the second team the work, and it would have been great. Their big frustration, right, is that they don't get seen. You don't get known, and then you're in the transfer portal. What if you don't have practice tape? Well, get game tape. If you just simply said, Nebraska JV plays Iowa, Iowa State, the four closest drivable universities, D1 universities, right? Do it on a Wednesday. Play the game on Wednesday night. No real distraction, no real bother from the varsity guys. You get the same. Yeah. You're making money now.
Yeah.
And a lot of these guys are going to be scholarship guys next year, right? Yeah. They're going to be dudes on scholarship. So, listen, if you open the gate for JV football and 4,000 people showed up, you're okay.
Yeah, and you could do it at different locations or something. I mean, obviously, we're solving the world's problems here, but I'm sure there's more to it.
So let's take this at the college level. Would you want it to be like high school where you have, you know, one of your varsity assistants is the JV head coach, right? Would like Matt Rhule give Tony White, say, hey, you're in charge of the JV term. Was Tony White's time more valuable as defensive coordinator and game planning than you give it to
the young guy? It's the young guy.
Like Voracek?
No. They're analysts. They're guys who are around the program who do, you know, maintenance work, and they're out there with film study, and they're outside the building. And you don't need 20 coaches on Wednesday night for JV. That's six coaches who you're just putting things in play so that you can get tape on players. You can see, hey, you know what? This guy looks like a dude, but I can't use him on Saturday because I'm four deep there, but I want to use him. Listen, if you told me you were going to send Daniel Kalen to play two JV games with Carter Nelson, I'm watching.
With Bricks.
And right. Like I'm watching.
Pyle and
right. I'm watching. Sledge, yeah. Right. I'm watching. It's value for Kalen. It's value for Nelson. It's value for the program. It's value for the fan base because you get to see. And guess what? Mom and dad, that's the only time you're going to get to see it. And you can make money streaming JV football.
Yeah. I think the freshman team or whatever, you know, ended a little bit before I got here. But, you know, I would say this, one of my fondest memories of being at Nebraska was being when I was a redshirt. And so, you know, you're going against a pretty good, I'm going against a pretty good team every day. We all are, all of us as freshmen, we taking our lumps. And on Wednesdays after practice, they would allow us to scrimmage the guys that either were, you know, third or fourth in the depth chart and us red shirts. And when I tell you, it was like all out war, right? Because we got to play our defense. We got to kind of show what, you know, we've gotten better, just kind of just stay fresh and all the coaches watched. And so you got to think of the likes of Mike Rucker, Jason Wills, Joel Makavica, all the offensive linemen, Josh Heskew, all those guys that ended up starting on national championship teams. We all went at it as red shirts, and that's what helped us get better. It helped us to continue along our development. Now, I will tell you this, for guys that are young or potentially thinking about going to college, I said this before, if you're a red shirt, my advice to you is to take every single rep on the look squad. You will beat more people out as a redshirt if you attack it the right way, and especially because you can play four games. And I think, DP, that's what they're kind of using the four-game redshirt thing, is I can get you in four games. But I know what your point is. You can play four full games.
Oh my!
Versus
goodness.
Playing a couple series. So it's kind of a little bit of a compromise.
Well, it's also that because if you're playing on Saturday as a piecemeal end of game player, you're getting a series. You're getting one series. We don't get to see you. How you play when you're tired. We don't get to see when you're put in different situations. Usually those are blowout situations at the end of a Saturday game. Well, what if you're actually competing in a JV game? That stuff is missed to see, okay, who takes leadership of that group? Who kind of leans to the back? And you get to see quarterbacks in a different way. You get to see coaches. You know what? Oh, maybe that's a better in-game coach than the one we have. It's a real, like, I have never been a fan of them moving that from college football. I thought from that matter, or all college sports, as a matter of fact, because if you told me that JV basketball was going to do the same thing, I would be all in. I would be all in. And you're talking about 10 players on the JV team who are just all playing. You're playing Concordia. You're playing Wesley and Doan, and you get to see players.
Yeah.
And you get to see who measures up, and then the side of it. Yeah, I think college football has an opportunity because the pros are showing the way. Like, they're showing you, one, you need more practice players. As much as you like to say you don't, you need more practice players.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have enough, the reps on the NFL level aren't good.
Yeah.
Like, pro reps just got better today. When you cut some of the excess fat, now you got dudes that, quite frankly, they're in the building and they're looking right across at the dude they're competing with.
Yeah, and they know what they got to do.
Yep.
I think it would keep kids around more because they're actually playing football.
You see the vision that they have laid out for you. See the path. Like, hey, this is how I fit in this system. You got a game. Here's a guy. Here's an example ahead of me.
Right. It's the payoff.
We're playing.
It's the payoff.
Right. And even if it's three or four games, you could work towards it. Like, hey, we got to ramp it up, man. You know, we got a game. We're playing Kansas State. You could build some stuff to it. Now, I'm sure there's other factors to it, and the whole roster, you know, roster management that's going to come around the corner at 105. But I think you could. I think, and maybe I'm biased, I think players would stay around because they're actually playing football. Now, I will tell you, when you have a practice where everybody's practicing and playing football is different than some of the, you know, places or some of the regimes we had prior that you guys, you know, a lot of guys were standing around. So I think that helps. But I think being able to, like DP said, see who's actually a leader, like having command of a huddle is something that you can't see when I look at your huddle tape or when I see you at 7-on-7. How you, like, I remember learning how to call a defense. You know, you got to think, and this was there before we go to break. I went from listening and waiting for Phil Ellis and Doug Coleman to call the defense to the next year calling it. It's a total different, and how you call it and how you command the huddle is a big part of playing quarterback and obviously middle linebacker or whatever, whoever the play caller is. It's you can't get it out of your huddle tape because all you're seeing is, oh, we're throwing a, you know, post route, we're throwing a go route. So those are things you would be able to see if you were able to play some sort of, like, you know, freshman football or, you know, whatever you want to call it. And you could develop some coaches a lot faster too. So anyways, good segment. Jay Foreman, DP, Austin, quick break. We'll be right back.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.